Greetings, my friends. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain, and you are listening to This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd and the rest of the Twig crew. Twigs. Come to think of it, Pinky, I have not used twigs in any of my latest plans for world domination. If this works, then Mike and the crew will rule by my side. Yes!
What's going on? You are listening to the Nerd News Network, and I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, from this wonderful show, ThisWeekInGeek.net. Well, guys, today is Friday, September 26, 2014, and you know what? A lot of good stuff going on today. In fact, got some housekeeping announcements to go off the top. Don't worry, all good news for a change. So, recently, as you guys know, I'm doing some charity work for Toronto Sick Kids Hospital via Extra Life. If you notice on the right-hand sidebar, you can see I've reached my goal of $500. Well, the event is still a month away, and I would think we can do better. And what I mean by that is, I think we can raise $1,000 between now and October 24th, when I start my event at 10 p.m. Eastern, and going till Sunday at noon, October 26th. So, what you guys can do to help me out and to help out the kids, you can go to birdmangivesback.com. Help me accomplish this. And what I'm doing is I'm streaming almost nightly on Twitch TV to get people interested. I've been streaming Marvel Infinity or Disney Infinity 2.0. I've been streaming Titanfall, Destiny. I should be streaming Alien Isolation very soon. I also have the ability to stream from my desktop. So I'll probably start doing playthroughs of The Walking Dead, stuff like that. And like I said, guys, remember, all this money goes 100% to Toronto Sick Kids Hospital, because as I mentioned previously, I've known a lot of people who've had cancer. Some of them are no longer with us anymore, and this is a very important cause to me. And Toronto Sick Kids likes to respond to me via Twitter like this, so definitely, evidently I'm on their radar. That's a good thing. And I don't often do this, but just because it was literally on my timeline before I started here, would like to wish a happy 36th birthday to Tara Goodyear McCall. This is a woman I used to know back in Owen Sound, aka the old country. And she married a friend of mine named Craig. She's a very cool person, a lot of fun to hang out with. So hopefully her day will be filled with awesome stuff and not police chases and helicopters. All right. So anyway, guys, so that's what we got going on there. Also, this month's topic show is the Saved by the Bell franchise, and that should be coming out early next week, I'm thinking Tuesday. And next week's Nerd News Network will be out on Thursday, as I'm going to Viva Las Vegas. That's right, I'm going to be taking that trip finally from 7-Eleven and NOS energy drinks to go visit George St. Pierre. Evidently, I'm staying at the MGM Grand. And this $10,000 trip's gonna blow my mind. I don't know. I think it's gonna be cool. I'm just looking forward to seeing Carrot Top. On that note, let's get going with the Nerd News Network. A lot of cool stuff happened this week in the world of nerd. And I want to start things off with kind of a feel-good story, and this is actually kind of cool because it ties into the Canadian space program. There is this 5-year-old kid from British Columbia, and his name is Timor, and he was wondering about the Voyager space probe. As you guys know, the Voyager space probe recently, this year, passed the heliosphere and is now in what is considered interstellar space, the furthest man-made object, as far as I know, the one that we're still in contact with. So, he had some questions about it. He's like, won't it get lonely? What if it crashes? What if it crashes into a planet? So, the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, actually managed to get a hold of Canadian astronaut Commander Chris Hadfield to talk to the kid. And at one point, Hadfield says, is Voyager a happy machine or a sad machine? He grew up on a farm with tractors and then became a pilot flying planes. He wants machines he works with to be happy. To Hadfield, machines are happy when they're being used, and Voyager is doing a job. It's out there exploring the universe. It's never lonely because it can phone home and tell us what it's seen. It's the bravest satellite. It's very brave and very lucky. It's been going for a long time, and it's a very tough little spaceship, and it knows what it's doing. And I'm actually going to post a link to the CBC audio archives for this, so you can hear Hadfield talk to this kid. And that's really cool, because Voyager actually tweets as well. If you follow, I forget what the exact Twitter is, mental note, put that in the show notes. You can actually follow the Voyager space probe as it sends back telemetry from outer space. And I think it takes like 2 days to send a command. It takes like 2 days for that information to get relayed back to Earth. I know a lot of Voyager's primary systems are powered down. Some of its instruments are shut down simply because to conserve power. Also, since it's not near any planets or anything, certain scientific instruments are no longer needed. But still, that's tremendously cool. So thank you, Chris Hadfield, for actually going out of your way to speak to this kid. And I really think that's awesome that you can get more young Canadians interested in the space program. And who knows, maybe little Timor will be out there doing something involving the space program in his future. So perhaps a future commander of the International Space Station. Or will he be one of the pioneering people who helps build the space elevator? That's right. This has been in the news a little bit recently. And I'm not talking about the Japanese scientists that say they can do this. Turns out there are these scientists, and they've created something called diamond nanothreads. It's 100 times stronger than a steel cable. And what this is, I'm going to read you part of this article just so you can kind of get a full grasp of what it is. A team of scientists have crafted a thread of carbon atoms 20,000 times smaller than a strand of human hair, and it may prove to be the strongest man-made material in the universe. Called a diamond nanothread, the ultra-thin material has a never-before-seen structure resembling hexagonal rings of bonded carbon atoms that make up diamonds, the hardest known natural mineral on Earth. That makes these nanothreads potentially stronger and more resilient than the most advanced carbon nanotubes, which are similar super-durable, super-light structures composed of rolled-up, one-atom-thick sheets of carbon called graphene. One of the scientists, John Badding, he's a chemistry professor at Penn State University, the guy that actually led the project, he says, because this thread is diamond at heart, we expect that it will prove extraordinarily stiff, extraordinarily strong, and extraordinarily useful. So this is really cool, because the creation of this diamond-like nanomaterial is actually a first. It's actually marking a breakthrough after a century of unsuccessful attempts to compress carbon-based molecules into a structure with such strength. The team produced it by using a pressure device at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory to compress an especially large 6-millimeter-wide pool of benzene, a molecule composed of carbon and hydrogen. The benzene molecules first stacked, then bent and broke apart, only to form again when the team released the pressure in an entirely different fashion with a diamond configuration and a bonding structure that formed nanothreads. So this is tremendously cool. The fact that it's super lightweight, it's super durable and super strong, the applications for this are so, so many. And you might be wondering, well, how this ties into space elevators. It means the cords can bend, the elevator can bend and sway as it is in geosynchronous orbit with the Earth. So I think that's tremendously cool, the fact that it can actually kind of do this. It's also, they're also kind of looking at it for using more fuel-efficient electric vehicles, stuff like that. And I can see this also having other applications, maybe in, well, unfortunately, military applications, because if this thing is super light and like super hard, imagine future body armor made out of this stuff. Or I could even see the applications for safety things for, like, say, seatbelts or stuff like that. Or basically, you know, just increasing safety in cars, especially when we can start doing this. Now, unfortunately, we can only do 3 centimeters at a time with this stuff. But scientists are hopeful by 2030 we should be able to do it. One of the other scientists, he's a Yoji Ishikawa of the Australian Broadcast, or he told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation from the Obayashi Research and Development, the tensile strength is almost 100 times stronger than steel cable, so it's possible. Right now, we can't make the cable long enough. We can only make 3-centimeter long nanotubes, but we need much more. We think by 2030, we should be able to do it. So, that's definitely the foreseeable future. And not all that long, considered, and considering how fast technology and science tends to move along anyway, I'm looking forward to the future. I think that's tremendously cool. So just thought you'd like to know that. The next story I'm going to talk about today is this one. I wouldn't say I've been following it a whole lot. It's always been on the edge of my peripheral because I've heard of Warner Brothers, for example, having trouble with the Schuster estate. And the Schuster estate is the guy that created Superman. So Marvel Comics and the Jack Kirby estate have finally are able to announce an an agreement, resolution in one of their big things. So I'm actually going to read this story coming to us from superherohype.com. One of the most influential artists in modern history, Jack Kirby defined a good portion of the Marvel Comics characters we know today, co-creating the Fantastic Four, Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, the X-Men, and many, many more. Although Kirby passed away in 1994, his estate has unfortunately found itself at odds with Marvel Comics, and both parties have for some time been involved in legal disputes over the rights of many of Kirby's Silver Age characters. Today, however, that appears to have all been settled. The following statement was just released from Marvel and the Kirby family. Marvel and the family of Jack Kirby have amicably resolved their legal disputes and are looking forward to advancing their shared goal of honoring Mr. Kirby's significant role in Marvel history. That's really, really, really great news, and I wonder what that's going to mean. I mean, obviously, there's probably some money has probably changed hands, or there's more agreements, or hey, if X amount of books sells, you get a percentage. Maybe they got a slice of the Fantastic Four stuff. Maybe it works because now they're with Disney, and Disney doesn't want to have a big negative image now that Disney now owns Marvel. So, something to kind of look about and think about. Jack Kirby's work, definitely familiar with a lot of it. I remember, I think it was on Comic Book Men, where Michael Zapsik said he had like a Jack Kirby Thor poster that looked tremendously cool. In fact, you know, when I was at the Secret Stash last year, I really should have bought something when I was there and just kind of thinking about that. Anyway, side note. But still though, I'm really glad that this has finally come to a full turn resolution. Hopefully we'll see something cool come out of this. What it is, I don't know. So moving on to, let me see. Well, we've got the happy story. Actually, no, these are actually both kind of downer stories, to be honest with you. So if you've ever heard of this comic, and I've heard about it through Steve Saylor, Snowball, you may know him as, he told me about something called Why the Last Man. And I remember seeing this at Toronto Fan Expo back, and I think it was the first year we covered. I think we talked with the creator back in 2007 or 2008, something like that. And evidently, the Why the Last Man film rights have been canceled, and the rights have reverted back to the creator. So the director that was attached to this, Dan Trachtenberg, has confirmed via Twitter that the big screen rights have actually reverted. And they have gone back to creators Brian K. Vaughan and P. Gura. And someone had asked him on Twitter what's going on with the project. And he says, not happening. But it's in trusted hands, parentheses, the creators. So for those of you that don't know what Why the Last Man is about, it is about the story of York Brown, a young man along with his capuchin monkey, ampersand, somehow survives a catastrophic event that kills off every living creature with a Y chromosome. Left in a world of only women, York teams with the government operative 355 to try and uncover the truth about the plague and why he and he alone made it through alive. So this is like a 60-issue series. It primarily serves as an exploration of modern gender politics, and at its heart, it's like a coming-of-age drama. So Trachtenberg had said, the script was essentially the first two trades. Taking inspiration from the original Star Wars, we wanted to tell a complete story, but not the whole story. Hoping that in success we could get the rest, that we could get to tell the rest of the serialized adventures. So what happens now? I'm not sure Brian will ever want to do anything more with it, says Trachtenberg, and I'm not sure that he needs to. I'd like to see this on the screen. Maybe if not live action, maybe animated. I think you could do a lot more with that, and you could probably get it out the door a little bit quicker. In fact, maybe this would make a really cool anime, actually. Or maybe get someone like, I'm trying to think who should pick this up. I don't know. I really, really would like to actually see this story. In fact, I kind of want to check out the trade paperbacks to this and see what the whole story is. Because, like I said, I've heard about it, don't know a whole lot more about it, but it does sound kind of neat. So, moving on to my final story, and oh, isn't this a kick in the nuts? So, WWE is making a new movie called Killing Hasselhoff. Okay, strike one. And a lot of people thought this was bullshit. And you know what? I just gotta spit it out and just tell you. Justin Bieber, Mr. Oh Baby Oh Baby, is the new voice of Kit from Knight Rider. So, I'm gonna read you the story here, and then we'll have a little bit of response here. According to the IMDb plot description, Killing Hasselhoff, which also stars Kenny Jeong and Hulk Hogan, is about a guy who tries to rig a celebrity death pool by offing the former Baywatch star. The man himself will have a role comparable to NPH in the first Harold and Kumar movie. So how the hell did Bieber end up in this movie? Since I possibly couldn't do any better myself, I'll let Hasselhoff explain. He called me and asked me for a favor. I called him back and said, as a friend, could you do me a favor? And he said, yes, and you know what? I did his favor first because I love the Beeb. I think he's a cool kid and he gets a bad rap. He's a good guy and I like his music. I've known him for 5 years since the European Music Awards. I called him and said, would you do me a favor? And he said, yes. I kind of refuse to believe this is real. But you know what? Maybe it'll be funny. Maybe it'll be funny. I'm kind of doubting it. In fact, I think it's probably one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. But it could be funny. Who's to say? If it's kind of like how MPH was in Harold and Kumar, arguably that was one of the funniest parts of that movie. And he was only in it for like a grand total of like 5 minutes. So, I don't know. Then again, seeing some of the quality that's come out of WWE Studios in the last year, I'm looking at you, Leprechaun Origins and The Marine Four. Friggin' Summer Rae, come on. The Miz. I don't know. I'm disappointed. You're disappointed. All around, children are crying. So anyway, that's pretty much going to do it for this edition of the Nerd News Network. I do want to send one more final announcement. Once again, I want to thank the people who've once again been contributing to my Extra Life campaign for Toronto Sick Kids. And I'm just going to thank them by first name, and I'm just going to read it off. And these are the people that have donated so far. So a huge thank goes to, in no particular order, to Todd, Misha, Tao, Lucas, Greg, Micah, Rochelle, Connor, AJ, Holly, Steve, Clark, Valerie, Christina, Jerry, Chad, Rodrigo, Will, Mark, and finally, we have Michael. Actually, no, that's just the one page. And I also made a contribution myself, but I'm doing the event, so whatever. So once again, birdmangivesback.com. You want to find out more information. So like I said, this week's Nerd News will be out on Thursday. Watch my Twitter and Instagram. Both are at birdmandod. This weekend, I will be posting pictures from Las Vegas next week. It should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to talking with George St. Pierre about nothing about UFC, only about Captain America, because I'm in a troll nerd style. It'll be fun. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard. And I'll catch you guys again next week, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
You gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat f***.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.